In our previous studies, we have sought to assert and to define and to explain the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. God's right to be God, His authority over all things, His power to do whatsoever He pleases. That's the sovereignty of God. None can stay His hand. None can say to Him, "What doest thou?" He is free to do whatsoever He pleases. And He has the power to do whatsoever He pleases. And what He purposes to do, He will do. He will accomplish. Nothing will stop. Nothing will hinder. Nothing will prevent the purpose of God, for the simple reason He is God. If anything could stop or frustrate the purpose of God, then He would no longer be God. But the fact that He is God underscores the truth that He is sovereign. It's a glorious truth, and one which is evidenced all around us in creation. Creation is the supreme grand act of the sovereignty of God. God chose to create. He could have chosen not to create, to remain in the solitariness of His own being. But God chose to create. And that choice, that act of creation, is the grand, the supreme manifestation of the sovereignty of God. It's not only a glorious truth, it's a comforting truth that reassures us. And it secures us in the knowledge that God is in control. He's over all. He's in control of all things. Everything that happens, God is in control. He's working out His purpose. He's working out His sovereign will. And that ought to comfort us. It ought to secure us. It ought to make us confident. Our God is in control. Our God is God. He is sovereign over all things. And that, I believe, is one of the most comforting and reassuring truths in all the Bible. Now, this evening I want to come to this subject from another angle, from the angle of what we might refer to as the challenge to this truth. And it is a challenge that has arisen from the presence of evil in this world. If God is sovereign, if God is almighty, if God is in control, why then has evil, the very thing that is opposite to God, the very thing that is rebellion against God, why has evil such a predominating influence in this world? Evil is the very opposite of what God is. It's opposition to God. It's rebellion to God. It is contrary to His righteous will. It is a course, it is a path that displeases God. Why then, if God is sovereign, does evil exist in this creation? Does it not suggest that God's plan has gone wrong? That He's no longer in control? Does evil, the presence of evil and sin, does it not undermine and weaken the truth of the sovereignty of God? That's a question I believe we've got to consider. But it's a question that we've got to consider with great caution. This problem of evil has shaken the faith of some people. Paul speaks of people who concerning faith had made shipwreck. They'd run upon the rocks. They'd run into rocks and made shipwreck of their faith. And that is certainly this area, this subject of evil in the world and evil that comes upon our lives, across the path of our life, that is an area that has caused many shipwrecks. It's caused many perplexities. Whenever people think of great afflictions and they think of great tragedies that have come in life, it's led some people to ask, how can a sovereign God, how can a God who is sovereign, a God who is good, a God who is wise, allow, if He is in control, If he is in control, how can he allow such evil in this world? How can he allow such evil in my life? How does evil fit into the plan of a sovereign God? Well, the answer to this problem, I believe, is found at the cross of Calvary. And as it's set forth here by Peter in the verse 23 of this chapter, he's speaking to the audience before him in Jerusalem. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he says in verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I want you to see what Peter is doing here. If we look very closely at what Peter says, I think we will find the answer to this problem of evil and how evil fits into the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It is the cross that gives us the answer. Because the cross, according to what Peter says here, was an act of wickedness. The crucifixion of Christ was an act of wickedness. Ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. In fact, the cross is the greatest act of wickedness that has ever been wrought in this world. It was the murder of the Creator by the hands of man. By the hands of man whom he had created. It is the greatest act of evil that has ever and will ever be committed upon the face of this earth. Here is the greatest evil. And remember, there are degrees of sin, degrees of wickedness. When the Lord stood before Pilate, Pilate said to him, do you not know that I have got power to crucify you or power to set you free? And the Lord said to Pilate, he that has delivered me has the greater sin. Those who had betrayed the Lord and those who had handed him over to Pilate were guilty of greater sin than what Pilate was guilty of. There are degrees of sin, and the greatest sin, the greatest evil that has ever been committed in this world is the murder of the Son of God. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we should never forget that. It is an act of evil. It was an act of wickedness. With wicked hands ye have crucified and slain. And yet as we contemplate this greatest act of evil, Peter shows us here how it is incorporated into the plan of God. For he says in the opening part, him being delivered, not primarily by Judas, or by the Jews, or by Pontius Pilate, but being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And what Peter is doing here is to take the greatest act of evil and show how it fits into the plan of a sovereign God. It's illustrating the sovereignty of God. Well, how does he illustrate the sovereignty of God in connection with evil? Well, first of all, he shows us that God foresaw this act of wickedness. The wicked act of man in crucifying the Son of God was known. It was seen by God before it happened. It was according to the foreknowledge of God. God foreknew. He foresaw all that took place that day on Golgotha's hill. The Lord Jesus knew before that day came what was going to happen. Do you remember how he forewarned his disciples in Matthew 16? Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, be murdered, be killed, and be raised again the third day. He told his disciples these things were going to happen. And long before he came into the world, by the incarnation, the prophets had foretold of a suffering that he would endure. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11 that the prophets spoke of these things beforehand. They spoke beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. You think of Isaiah 53, that detailed description of the death of the Son of God. The crucifixion was not a surprise event that took God unawares. It was not the sudden, tragic overthrowing of God's plan. God foresaw it. God knew what was going to happen. The Lord did not come to Israel wondering whether they would receive him or not. He knew what was going to happen. He knew they would reject him. That he knew they would put him to a cross. And that, you see, illustrates the sovereignty of God. Evil doesn't take God by surprise. God is not taken unawares by the evil that takes place. He wasn't taken by surprise by the events of the cross, the crucifixion. And what is true of that supreme act of evil is true of all evil in general. All sin, when God determined to create this universe, he knew beforehand what was going to happen. He knew that Lucifer would rebel and draw a third of the angelic hosts with him. He knew that Adam, as the representative of mankind, would disobey when the temptation was set before him. God knew all that would happen. All the evil that would take place in his creation, in the realm of time, from the first day of creation to the end of the age, God foreknew. He saw everything. Nothing takes God by surprise. That is the first way in which we see the sovereignty of God in relation to evil, by the foreknowledge of God. God knew what would happen. But that leads us to a second aspect, and it is this. God permitted this evil of the crucifixion. The crucifixion was permitted by God. It could not have happened unless by divine permission. The Lord Jesus wasn't taken as a helpless victim, unable to resist his captors. They could only do what they did because he permitted them to do it. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Judas and the band of soldiers came to take him? What did he say to them? He said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have resisted them. He could have overthrown them. He could have prevented their plan and their design, their murderous intention. He could have stopped it. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Do you not know that I've got the power to crucify you or the power to let you go?" The Lord Jesus said to him, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above." Pilate could only do what he did to Christ because God permitted him to do it. God not only foreknew, he not only knew beforehand that evil would come into his creation, he permitted it. He permitted it. Now it's at this point that we've got to exercise caution, because when we talk about God permitting sin and permitting evil, we are not speaking about him being the author or the source of evil. That cannot be. God cannot sin. And he cannot tempt anyone to sin. Satan is the source of evil. Evil originated in the heart of Lucifer. You remember how the Lord Jesus described him as the father of lies? The source of falsehood is Satan. He was the source of the temptation. And when Adam fell or gave in to that temptation, he was guilty. Adam was guilty of committing that sin. But God's sovereignty is witnessed in the fact that he permitted evil to come into the world. When we look at the cross, we think of how he could have stopped it. How he could have prevented those soldiers taking him. How he could have prevented Pilate from doing what he did. The Lord permitted them to do that. And that is the same with all the evil in this world. God permitted Satan, God permitted man to follow the sinful desire that originated in their hearts. And as we read through the scriptures, we find this manifested time and time again. Satan can only do as God permits him. We've seen that in the case of Job. He had to request God. He had to request God to permit him and allow him to touch Job. The demons in the region of the Gadarenes, they had to request Christ not to cast them into the abyss, but let them go into the swine. You remember when the Lord said to his disciples, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word desire there, that original word means to ask. To ask out and out for. Satan asked. He had to ask God. He had to request God to let him touch his disciples. You see, all the evil that has come into this world, God not only knew beforehand, God permitted it. And therein is the sovereignty of God manifested. But added to this, there is a third fact that is highlighted at the cross, and it is the fact that God restrained the evil, the sin of the crucifixion. He not only knew what would happen, he not only permitted what would happen, but he restrained it. He restrained the actions of wicked men. If you turn to John chapter 19, John chapter 19, here we find in the verse 31 of that custom that was employed in relation to crucifixion to hurry on the process of death. The soldiers would break the legs of those who were crucified to hasten death. Verse 31, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken. Notice this. The Jews requested this. They wanted the legs of the Lord Jesus to be broken. Verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Verse 36, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. What was God doing? God was simply manifesting his sovereignty. He knew what would happen, he permitted it to happen, but he also restrained the evil desire, the evil intention of wicked men. Psalm 76 verse 10 says, surely the wrath of man shall praise him, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. God's sovereignty is not only demonstrated by his permission of evil, his sovereignty is demonstrated by the restraining of it. This world is a wicked place. Man by nature is wicked. But all men are not as wicked as they could be. And the world is not as bad as it could be. Because God exercises His sovereignty in restraining the evil of Satan and the evil of fallen man. And He places restraints in this fallen world. Conscience is a restraint. Paul tells us in Romans 2 about the Gentiles who do not have the written scriptures, and yet they do by nature the things that are in the law, their conscience bearing them witness. Conscience is a restraint. And that conscience is only a manifestation of God's sovereignty. Men are not as evil as they could be. The world is not as bad as it could be, because God restrains evil. He puts a conscience into man. The law of God, the written law, is a restraint. Remember Psalm 2? The kings of the earth, the people gather together. They rise up against the Lord and His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast their cords from us. What are they talking about? They're talking about the restraints that God has put on them. God restrains the evil desire of man. And His law is a restraint. Authority is a restraint. Human authority. God has placed parental authority. There is authority within society. The powers that be are ordained of God. What for? The punishment of evil doers. And then added to that, there's another restraint that is found in the church. The Lord Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. And salt stems and halts the corruption. God has placed the church in this world as a restraint upon the evil desire of man, so that they cannot do as they want to do. All these things are just a manifestation of how God is sovereign. He knew the evil that would come into the world. He permitted that evil. He restrains it. But look again at the cross, and you find something else in relation to God's sovereignty and evil. You learn by looking at this supreme act of evil how God brought good out of the evil of the crucifixion. The men who placed Christ upon the cross were acting out of malice, out of hatred. They thought they were ridding themselves and the world of this man, but in reality God was working out the glorious redemption of His people. Christ's death was not an accident. It was not a tragic end. It was not some great travesty of God's purpose. Christ's death was determined. Did you notice that in verse 23? How Peter says that? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel. This was determined by God. And God had determined to allow wicked men to take His Son and to crucify Him upon a cross, so that out of that evil God would bring good. God would bring the redemption of His people. Death. This death was an atoning death. The means of satisfying divine justice, paying the penalty for the sins of His people so as to save them. And the end result of Christ's death will be the salvation of a great multitude which no man can number. God brought good out of evil. And herein is the sovereignty of God manifested. He permits evil, yes. He restrains it, yes. But He also brings good out of it. You remember Joseph? And all the things that happened to Joseph back in Genesis chapter 50. Think of how he was envied by his brothers. And then they sold him, initially wanting to kill him. See how God restrained their evil. God restrained it. And he was sold into Egypt. And there he was falsely accused, cast into prison. Remember how he was forgotten about in the prison. Think of all the evil that happened. The Bible says the archer sorely grieved him. His feet were put in the irons. Think of all that evil that befell Joseph. And yet at the end, in Genesis chapter 15, when he meets his brothers, and their father dies, and they fear for their life, Joseph says in verse 19, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Am I not in the place of God?" See, Joseph had this view of the sovereignty of God. He learned in all the sufferings and all the evil that befell him, he learned of a sovereign God. I'm in the place where God has brought me to, the place that God has appointed. And all these things that have happened, as far as you're concerned, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it on to good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You see how the Lord restrained, he permitted the evil that came into Joseph's life, but he also restrained it, and he brought out of it tremendous good. Not only were his brothers provided for in the time of famine, but all of Egypt and all the surrounding countries, many people, much people saved, because of this evil that brought Joseph into Egypt. And all that he faced, God brought good out of evil. And that's the sovereignty of God. God knows the evil that would happen. He knew the evil. He permitted it. He restrains it. And he brings good out of it. But there's one last thought that's manifested here in Acts chapter 2. And it is the fact that God ultimately triumphed over the evil. God triumphed. For look at what he says in verse 24. After having said what they did, "By the wicked hands you have crucified and set, whom God hath raised up." Verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted." See, he has talked about the hands of men. "With wicked hands you've taken and crucified him. But here's the hand of God. And through this wicked action that God permitted, that these men were responsible for, God triumphed over the evil. He raised his son from the dead. He exalted him far above all." Look at verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified." There's the evil, but here's the triumph. "God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ." There's the triumph over evil. The triumph. God triumphed over the evil actions of men by raising his son from the dead and setting him at his own right hand. Here we learn why God permitted this evil action. God permitted these men to slay his son, so that evil itself would be slain. God allowed evil to lift up its hand against Christ, so that evil would be eliminated and eternally defeated. The triumph. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and submitted himself to his death in order to make a new creation. That's why he went to the cross. A new heaven and a new earth, in which the presence of sin and evil will be eliminated entirely and eternally. Think what Peter said, 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. "We look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Think of the last chapters of Revelation. Everything that offends is cast out, purged out. And that new creation, all things made new, void of all evil. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more death. Because there's no more sin. No more evil. When God created this present universe, He didn't create evil. All that he made was good. But the moment that he said that it was good, that moment the possibility of something that was not good, the possibility of evil, was present. And therefore God permitted that possibility to come into the world, to come into existence. He permitted Lucifer to follow the sinful desire of his heart. He permitted man freely to follow his desire to do evil. God permitted evil to enter in order to eliminate it and remove it completely. God had the end result in view at the beginning. He didn't create the universe at first as the end result. Wasn't a case of God creating the universe and then suddenly all things went terribly wrong. We should not think like that. God created the universe as a means to an end. And the end was a world without evil. A world with evil vanquished, defeated. Truth triumphant, righteousness triumphant. That was the end that God had in view, the great objective, the great purpose. And he created this world, this universe in the beginning with that possibility of evil. He permitted sin to come into the world so that sin could be defeated and sin could be destroyed. And that new heaven and that new earth would be free of all evil. Evil bound eternally. The devil and all his angels and wicked man cast into the blackness of darkness forever. Evil bound, defeated forever. God permitted evil to enter so as to triumph eternally over it and bring about a new creation where God is all in all and sin can never enter. Evil is not a threat to the sovereignty of God. It serves to illustrate a sovereignty all the more so. He foreknew what would happen. He permitted. He restrains. He brings good out of it. And he ultimately triumphs over evil. And when we look at the cross, the supreme act of wickedness, man in his wickedness crucifying his Creator, rejecting his Maker. When we look at the cross, we see the sovereignty of God in relation to that evil. And we can then take that and translate it to our own lives. When we think of those things that come across our path, those things that are evil, those things that often perplex us, when we look at them in light of the cross, in light of the cross we recognize that this evil is known by the Lord, foreknown by the Lord. It has been permitted by the Lord. And the Lord will restrain it. And the Lord will bring good out of it. And the Lord will ultimately triumph over it. So often we're like Jacob. You remember whenever they brought word back to him that Benjamin would have to stay in Egypt. And he cried out and he said, you know, Joseph is not. And Simeon was already there, and now you're going to take away Benjamin. He said, all these things are against me. They're all against me. And yet just around the corner, he was going to see how the things that had come into his life, God knew all about them. God knew there was going to be a famine that would threaten the existence of Jacob's family. And God permitted his son Joseph to be taken away from him God restrained the evil. And God brought good out of it. And God triumphed over it. That's how we should view evil. In the light of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. And that gives us confidence. That, I believe, enables us to say, like Paul, when they were telling him about all the evil things that were going to happen to him, he said, none of these things move me, because I serve a sovereign God. He's in control of all things, even evil itself. And he will ultimately triumph over that evil. What a truth this is. We have a sovereign God, and nothing can frustrate or overthrow the purpose of God.